Welcome to Knowing Christ, the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle. We're glad you're listening and encourage you to tune in each week as we study God's Word. Our desire is that each week we will know Christ more and more.
Please tell me, I told him. I grabbed hold of his robe. I said, tell me, please tell me what this dream means. I've asked all the wise men in all of my kingdom, and no one has a clue, but I know that you are the one who knows the holy God, and I'm trusting in you to tell me the meaning of this dream.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message.
Well, welcome to Knowing Christ. We're excited today to open up our Bibles to Daniel 4. In Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar sort of gives his testimony, gives it from his own perspective, his own relationship with the Lord, his own transformation that God made in his life. And so as I preach through this passage today, I'm going to preach in a little different way. I'm going to preach as though I'm preaching from Nebuchadnezzar's point of view. It's a first-person narrative, and I trust that this will allow us to enter deeper into the story and into the experience of Nebuchadnezzar of receiving the grace of God and receiving the power of God and the transformation of God. Today, we're going to learn from Nebuchadnezzar how God is a God who redeems, that in God's grace, he meets us. And isn't it true that we need to be met by the Lord, that we need him to come to us and offer grace to us? Oftentimes, our hearts are straying or distracted, and we need the Lord. And we're going to find from the story that the Lord is a God who's so kind that he comes to us. May God bless us as we think about Nebuchadnezzar today.
Well, good morning. My name is Nebuchadnezzar. A long time ago, I was the most powerful man on the face of the world. I was the king over a kingdom that stretched across every known land. If you don't know much about me, I understand. It's been 2,600 years since I was on the throne. But I'm here this morning not to tell you so much about my own personal accomplishments, but to tell you about God's working in my life. God has laid it upon my heart to tell you the story of my conversion. I went from being one of the most cruel, self-worshipping, arrogant men in all of human history to being a worshiper of the one true and living God. And I still am in awe of that. This happened all by God's amazing grace toward me. As an aside, before I share my story of God's salvation in my life, I want to encourage you, if God has set his love upon you and redeemed you and saved you, rescued you from yourself and from your pride, I want to urge you to tell your story to everyone who is near you. Tell your story often. It's the most important part of your life. And I want to encourage you to tell your story. I could tell you of earthly accomplishments in my life that dazzled the whole world in my time. I could tell you of an empire of stunning, beautiful gardens, an empire of luxurious modern cities, of economic prosperity, of world peace that allowed people all over to live in security because of me. Yet all these accomplishments that were the headlines of my day, they're mostly forgotten now. And what's left? I tell you what's left. It's only the spiritual impact that first came to me from the Lord and then through me to others. And so I want to urge you, if the Lord has favored you with his grace, tell the story of God's salvation in your life. Tell it to your children. Tell it to your grandchildren. Tell it to your neighbors. Tell it to your coworkers. Tell it to everyone. I know that you may feel some fear in even thinking about telling your story. And quite frankly, I don't know you all, and I'm a bit afraid today. But the Lord is with you. He loves you, and he loves to tell his story through you. If I would ask your children today, hey, please tell me your dad's story. Let me ask you, would they be able to tell it? I want to encourage you to tell your story so often to your children that it becomes just sort of common life to them. From the moment God redeemed me, I committed to telling my story to all peoples and nations and languages, to people all over the world. It was such an amazing work of the Lord in my life. And I was so happy when the prophet Daniel told me he would even write it down. And he'd write it down in the Aramaic language so that it could be spread to all the nations throughout all the known world of the time. I wanted people everywhere to know that the Lord, Daniel's God, He is the Most High God, and he's the one true and living God who rules over everything. You know, I never tire speaking of the signs and wonders that God did to save one like me. I still find it hard to believe that God would have mercy upon me, one who is so filled with self-will and rebellion against him, filled with pride. But praise God, God rescued me. The Lord's kingdom alone is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion alone endures from generation to generation. The Lord alone is the only person who does everything that he pleases. You know what? At one time, I thought that my kingdom would last forever. How foolish. At one time, I thought I had the power to do whatever I wanted to do. Let me tell you about what happened. I was living an incredibly comfortable life, never really thinking about God, consumed with my own plans for my own life. I was sitting in my palace, and it was a beautiful palace, amazing palace. I didn't have a care in the world upon my mind, and I was looking at all the stuff that I had built throughout the city. I was thinking of all the material wealth and gold and gems and everything I had accumulated, all that I had created. I didn't have any fear of any danger whatsoever. I was healthy and strong. I had wealth beyond one's wildest imagination. I had as many wives and concubines as I wanted. I had no enemies powerful enough to even come close to threatening me. Nothing disturbed my mind until one day I was napping in my palace and God sent to me a dream. I woke up in a cold sweat, shaking with fear from this dream. And for a long while after I awoke, I lay still on my bed thinking about the visions it had given me. This was not any normal dream. I knew that this dream was sent from God himself. You see, nearly 30 years earlier, I had a dream that also shook me and brought me to my knees. I think your pastor told you about that dream 2 weeks ago in a sermon. I hadn't had a dream like this for 3 decades. 30 years had passed between that first dream and this one. But now I knew that God himself is visiting me. I immediately called all the wise men in my kingdom to come so that they could tell me the meaning of my dream. It shook me. I didn't know exactly what it meant, but I knew it was something terrifying. You see, I still believed in all the Babylonian gods, and I believed in the servants of the Babylonian gods. And so I called all the wise men who serve Babylonian gods to come and tell me the answer to my problem, the meaning of my dream. And looking back, I can't even explain why I didn't immediately call Daniel. He was the one who told me about my dream and its meaning 30 years ago. But my heart reverted back to these gods that really aren't gods at all. And I had grown accustomed to looking to those gods to help me through life. I think that when a heart has turned from the Lord, we tend to look to this world and false gods for the answers to our great problems. Friends, I want to ask you, do you ever face any troubles that keep you awake at night? Any troubles that disturb you? Maybe problems in your finances or job, maybe problems in your family and your relationships. Maybe problems inside in your emotions that you just can't seem to get a hold on. I urge you to take your problems first to the Lord. I urge you to take your problems to people who know the Lord. For he alone is the fount of wisdom and help. I urge you, don't look for wisdom to help you with life problems among those people who refuse to even acknowledge the Lord. That's what I was doing. And they were of no help at all. All my magicians and enchanters and astrologers, they all came before me and they tried to help me, but none of them could until after all those who denied the Lord had their say, finally Daniel arrived. And my heart actually, when I saw him, I remembered 30 years earlier, and my heart beat with some hope. Now, we Babylonians call Daniel Belteshazzar. It just simply means Bel is the one who protects. You see, I named him after my own false god some 30 years earlier when he arrived in Babylon. I only use this name now, Belteshazzar, as I tell you this story because everyone reading about my testimony who live in Babylon, they're not going to know who Daniel is. And so I used the name Belteshazzar so that they would know who I'm talking about. I knew that I needed someone who walked with God to tell me the will of God. And there was no one besides Daniel and his three friends that I could turn to who I knew knew the Lord. And so when he arrived again, my heart beat with hope. I began to be calm. Daniel came before me, and with hope I said to him, "O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you." I knew that he knew the Lord. I knew that he didn't just know about the Lord, that there was something personal, that he prayed to the God of heavens. And I told him, "I know that no mystery is too difficult for you." I remembered all that he told me 30 years earlier. I told him the visions in my head as I lay on the bed were these. And I told him, "Behold, all of a sudden, in the middle of my dream, I saw this tree. And this tree was in the middle of the earth, and it was so tall. And as I looked at the tree, it was continuing to grow taller and taller, and not just taller, but stronger and thicker and deeper. And I looked in the top of this tree, it reached all the way to the stars, all the way to the heavens. And everyone on the face of the earth could see this tree. There was not one person who couldn't see this tree when they looked toward it. And I want to tell you that this tree was amazing in its beauty and its fruitfulness. Its leaves were beautiful. I'd never seen such colors. And the fruit, it had enough fruit on this one tree that every person in the world could be fed by it. And in fact, all the beasts of the field came to it and found shade under it from the heat. And every bird in the heavens, they lived in its branches. This was the kind of tree that I envisioned. And suddenly, as I was laying on my bed having this dream, there was a watcher. A holy one, you call them angels. We call them watchers. A watcher came down from heaven, and he shouted to me as I was looking at this gigantic, growing, strengthening, fruitful tree, and he shouted to me, "Chop down this tree." I was aghast. And then he continued, "Lop off every one of its branches, strip every leaf from it, and scatter its fruit all throughout the world on the ground to waste. Let every beast flee from under it. Let every bird that hides in its branches fly away. But," this watcher told me, "leave the stump. Leave the stump with its roots deep in the ground, in the soil, and bind that stump with a band of iron and bronze." And then this watcher said something inexplicable. He went from talking about the tree to talking about a person. He says, "Let him be wet with the dew of heaven." And I immediately thought, him, he's talking about a tree. "Let him be wet with the dew of heaven." I have to tell you, at this point in my dream, I felt, even while I was asleep, a dread fall upon me. He continued, this watcher, "Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's mind, and let a beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him." The watcher told me this sentence was by the decree of the angels. This was a decision that came from heaven itself, from the Most High God, and was mediated through these holy ones. And he told me that to the end, that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, that all this was going to happen, this person in this dream was going to be given over to the mind of an animal so that the Most High God would be recognized as God, and that it is the Lord who gives every kingdom upon the earth to whomever he will, and that he even raises up lowly people to be rulers over his earth. Belteshazzar, this is the dream that I saw. And I said, Belteshazzar, this is the dream that leaves me trembling to this day. The command to chop down this tree, it frankly terrifies me. I grow in fear as I think of the other parts. "Please tell me," I told him. I grabbed hold of his robe. I said, tell me, please tell me what this dream means. I've asked all the wise men in all of my kingdom, and no one has a clue, but I know that you are the one who knows the holy God. And I'm trusting in you to tell me the meaning of this dream. I cannot forget the look on Daniel's face as I pled with him. I saw his eyes turn downward for a moment, and I noticed a tear trickle out of the corner of his eye and down his cheek. And for a long time, he was silent before me. There was this awkward, terrible silence. And Daniel began to open his mouth as though he was to speak, and then he closed his mouth again as though he was reluctant. I couldn't wait any longer. Finally, I told him, Belteshazzar, don't be afraid. It was clear that he was afraid to tell me the meaning of this dream. He didn't want to tell me. I said, don't be afraid to tell me what this dream means. And Daniel knew that any person who came before me, all throughout my 30 years of being emperor, if they came before me with a message I didn't like, that off with their head, I'd execute them. And I told him, Daniel, don't be afraid. Whatever you tell me about the meaning of the dreams, I want to hear it. I need to hear it. With sadness in Daniel's voice, he said to me, and I will always remember the affection that was pouring from him toward me. I don't know why he cared for me at all. I was the king who destroyed his people and deported him from his own home into this foreign land. And yet he spoke with such kind affection toward me. And he said to me, my lord, I wish that this dream would be about those who hate you and not about you. I shook when he told me that. He said, I wish the interpretation which I'm going to give you would be about your enemies and not about you. I thought immediately, this is not good. He continued, the tree you saw, which grew and became so strong that it reached the top of the heavens and was visible to the end of the world. Its leaves were beautiful. Its fruit was abundant to fit everyone throughout all the world. The beasts of the field found shaded. The birds of the air, they all camped there. This tree, it's about you, O king. Throughout these 30 years, you have grown, you've become strong. And your kingdom has grown, and your kingdom has grown strong. And your kingdom reaches to the heavens, your dominions to the end of the earth. There's not anyone that we know on the face of the earth who's not underneath your authority. I looked at him and I says, okay, go on. And because you, O king, saw a watcher, an angel, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and leave its roots in the earth and bind it with a band of iron. And because you saw and heard him say, let him be wet with dew of heaven and let his portion be with the beasts of the field until 7 periods of time pass over him. O king, and I could hear his voice break with compassion. O king, this is the interpretation. I held my breath as my legs shook beneath me. This is a decree from the Most High. This is what the Lord says is going to happen. And this is the decree which has come upon my Lord the King. This is all about you. Because, O King, you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. I frankly did not know what to say. In every other way, I felt healthy. I felt strong. How could this be? How could someone who's accumulated so much power, so much prestige, so much wealth, and was so healthy and strong, how could one have such a fall as he describes? I remembered on 2 occasions that I had declared the God of Israel to be the one true God, that God had awakened me early in my reign. And both times, after I affirmed that Daniel's God is the Most High God, I went back to worshiping other gods, the gods of Babylon. Was the dream telling me that I would once again proclaim Daniel's God to be the Most High, to be the Lord of all the world? Daniel continued, and as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. I really didn't know what this meant, but I was glad that a stump was left. That whatever it meant is that if the tree represented me, that the tree wasn't going to be completely disintegrated and scattered like nothing throughout the whole of the world. And then Daniel said it, and he said it with such pleading, with such urging, with a call for me to receive the grace of God. He says, therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable. Listen to what I'm about to say. And then I heard him say this. He says, O king, break off your sins. It is your sins that are placing you under the Most High's judgment. Turn from them before it is too late. Call upon the Lord. Begin to practice righteousness before the Lord. Begin to show some mercy to the people who you oppressed. Because then the Lord will hear from heaven when you repent and turn and trust in him. The Lord will hear from heaven, and perhaps there might be a lengthening of your prosperity rather than a chopping down of the tree. Oh, Daniel was bold that day. If any other man at any other time told me that I needed to break off my sins, I would have been so offended. How dare you say that to me? I thank God that he sent me a servant so faithful, so bold, so courageous. You know, I have to tell you, as I look at the world in which you live, 2,600 years after mine, I have to say, wouldn't you agree with me that you also need more Daniels in this world? I needed a Daniel in my world, someone who would confront the most mighty person in all the world and do it with boldness and yet also with faithfulness to the Lord. We need more faithful servants of God willing to speak his truth to a prideful world, regardless of the cost. Well, I believed everything that Daniel had told me. I had no reason to disbelieve. And I told him I would break off my sins, that I would turn to the Lord. And I meant it when I said it. I dismissed Daniel. And, you know, for several weeks, I thought about what Daniel told to me. I woke up thinking about the dream, about Daniel's words, break off the sin, practice righteousness, calling me to trust in the Lord. Every morning, I feared perhaps today would be the day that God's judgment would fall upon me. And I have to say that for those several weeks, I fully expected this demise of this dream to come upon my life. But you know something? God's judgment didn't fall upon me, not for a month, not for 2 months, not for 3 months. And you know something else? By the end of 3 months, I had forgotten that God spoke to me at all. At first, I was stirred. At first, I was concerned. But after 3 months, I thought, well, nothing's happened at all related to this dream. The judgment of God won't come upon me. I felt as strong and as powerful as ever. I have to warn you all, often the Lord spiritually awakens us with fearful happenings in our lives. He did that to me on several occasions, this being the latest one. And for a time then, we listen to the Lord. We even make perhaps some emotional confessions of repentance only to turn back to our formal way of life, to our other gods. And that's what I did. My return to my other gods revealed that my repentance was not really genuine. It was not heart-produced. It was only superficial. I think it was your pastor who just last week shared this principle. It is common for dramatic events in life to spiritually soften the heart of the unregenerate, only to have that same heart hardened to deeper extremes. You know, it happened 30 years earlier with the first dream that I had that terrified me. I confessed God to be the Lord, and then I turned away. It happened again when the three men I had thrown into the fiery furnace, and I confessed the Lord as God, and then I forgot and turned away. And it happened to me later in my life as well, right here in this event that I'm sharing with you.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. I pray that this radio ministry will help you to grow in your knowledge of Jesus, that you would know Jesus more and more. As we think about Nebuchadnezzar telling his testimony, I want to encourage you. If you're a grandpa or grandma, if you're a mom or dad, if you're a brother or sister, I want to encourage you to write out your testimony and to share your testimony of God's grace in your life with the people you know and love. It might be even a neighbor, a friend. But write out your testimony and say, here's the testimony. I've thought about what God's done in my life, and I want to share it with you. I pray that it encourages you. Too often, we fail to share testimonies so that even people close to us don't know our story. Our story is important not because we're important, but our story is important because God is important and because he deserves to be praised for what he has done. So won't you consider that, to write out your story and plan to share it with three other individuals as you write it out. God will be glorified in you.
Here at Knowing Christ, we're so thankful for our listeners. The comments we receive are such an encouragement to us as we hear how God is at work through this ministry. Would you spread the word? Invite a friend to tune in on this station to hear Knowing Christ each week. And check out our website where you can send us a note or listen to these messages again. Thanks for listening. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.